Got it to the line, not out, still in. Eichel looking down low, he's got Stone. Out in front, they score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
3-on-3, finding Eichel. Eichel to Stone. He scores! The captain on the board. Quick strike offense for Vegas. Barbashev to Eichel to Stone.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Should we be making more out of Ivan Barbashev's start to the season?
We probably should be, but he's it's hard when you've got Jack Eichel at 10 points and Mark Stone on a five and Jack Eichel on a five game point streak. Like it we should, but we're not.
Mark Stone has an assist in every game this year, and then you get Barbashev, who last year, it took him 23 games to get to four goals.
Mm-hmm.
23 games.
Yeah.
And right now, he's scoring four goals in five games on 10 shots. He has an individual shooting percentage of 40%.
Yeah, you'll take that all day long.
All day long.
I had the conversation with someone the other day, and my question to them was...
Who was it?
My friend Eddie.
Okay.
And the question was, what's his ceiling?
Who, like, Eddie's?
No.
I think Eddie's drastically underperformed in life.
I think
there's so much room for Eddie to go.
Listen, I know about what Eddie makes. He's definitely not underperforming. But
oh boy, I'm sure he appreciates you saying
that's
that.
That's why you hang out with him, because you two are like rich dudes.
Listen, when someone is always offering to buy you lunch, you take them up on that. So
well, nobody will even go for lunch with me.
Well, we'll do it one day when the team
with
gets
Eddie.
Back to, no, well maybe.
Well,
yeah.
Let's bring Eddie, because okay, then they can buy.
Well,
hey, I'm inviting myself to this because I also know Eddie, and I want to go to lunch with Eddie.
So the conversation was, what's Barbashev's ceiling? Because his career high is 26 goals. He had 60 points in 21-22 season. I think he can get to 30. Like, is that unreasonable?
Playing with Jack?
Yeah, that's...
And with Jack healthy and Jack feeling like he is?
Well, it's the other guy's
playing. For
with
sure.
Too. The other guy on the line, too.
Jack and Mark Stone.
I mean, you're like, playing with elite players.
I think he can get to 30.
And I love Barbashev's game. I love that he doesn't shy away from contact.
You see the hit he threw last night?
Oh, it was good, yeah. I like his game a lot.
Right in the middle of the ice?
He's got a little like grit to him. I love
that. We didn't talk about him the whole training camp.
No.
I know.
Now we're not talking about him enough right now.
He's so underappreciated in that respect.
He's
right?
Kind of like a silent assassin, you know? He's got like a little ninja quality in him.
Ninja? Well, I think, okay, listen, all the conversation the entire preseason, right? At least from a large perspective with the Golden Knights is, what are they going to do? Scoring on the wing. And Ivan Barbashev's like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
No, but Barbashev wasn't even going to start in that line.
I know. But he's made the most of it.
He's certainly
not coming off it now.
He's proven he could play with those guys.
Well, we knew he could play with Jack.
Yeah, but now you add Stone into the mix as well, and that's one of the best top lines in hockey.
Well, right now it's the best line in hockey. Here's the thing. It's easy to justify your game getting better when you play with Jack. You line up on his right wing or his left wing, your numbers are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also pressure there. Because if you don't perform or your numbers don't increase at a certain rate, you're going to be moved off there.
Sure.
Because you can't just ride shotgun and have a great old time. You got to put up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that brings some pressure, and He's fine with that. He doesn't have any issue with that. I also like the way he adds a different element to that line. It's hard. I never saw Ivan Barbashev when they acquired him from the St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't immediately think first line winger with Jack Eichel.
Sure,
but he does bring something else to Jack Eichel and whoever is on the other side. But if you play with Jack, you better be pushing career highs.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And Ivan Barbashev's off to a great start in that regard, but that is one of the best spots in hockey, but as you mentioned, one of the most pressure packs, because that line can't be a line that doesn't produce on a night-to-night basis. That's just the way that it is with Jack and Mark in that spot. You look to that line to produce night in and night out, and on that wing, you're going to have to be successful there.
He brings a little grit to the game.
A lot of grit.
Maybe not even grit might not be the right
sandpaper,
word.
Sandpaper, snarl, moxie.
I think of like a 1977 Fender where it looks good. It can get up and down the road, but you're not going to dent that thing. Like, it's solid.
Mm-hmm. I love Ivan Barbashev. Like, again,
Ninja was a new one. Hadn't thought of him as a ninja.
I hadn't thought of the ninja either. He'll throw the big hit. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say it was, might have been the St. Louis Cup run. Was that when he hit Sam Girard behind the net?
He's so good in that series.
Amazing. And he's able to do that. He can change the momentum of a game, the trajectory of a series with a hit, just as much as he can change the momentum of a game with a goal or an assist.
What I really like about his game, too, is that he shows up in big spots.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who's fit for prime time.
Like, I'll go back to the Stanley Cup final, the hit on Radko Gudas.
Yeah.
Set the tone.
Really set the tone, yeah. Yeah.
I always wanted to be a ninja.
Well, what would your ninja name be?
They don't have names.
They do.
No, samurais have names.
No. Like, come on.
Like Shinobi, which was like...
I never knew they had names.
Leonardo, Michelangelo, they're...
Oh, no,
ninja names.
I'm not going that. I just... We used to, like, in our shop class, I don't know whether that translates here.
But yeah, like, we had that. Wood okay. shop, metal shop.
Metal, yeah, we would make the... The throwing stars.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you good at that?
All the time.
Did oh,
you?
Wow.
Well, you can't be bad at it. No. No. They'll go into concrete.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what are you throwing them at?
They'll stick to everything. But, oh, yeah. I watch all the movies. The nunchucks, the throwing stars.
Oh, man.
And I still can't believe that we got away with it today.
Oh, that's suspension.
Totally.
That's either suspension
with good
or
reason.
Expulsion.
Yeah. And wow. The teacher's done.
Yeah. Yeah. You're letting them do this?
This
yeah.
is a good idea to you? Come on.
Bruce Cassidy did speak to the media today. A practice day before the road trip wraps up against the Florida Panthers tomorrow. After the close defeat against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the first time ever that the Golden Knights have dropped the first two road games in a campaign. Here's Bruce Cassidy with Ashley Weiss in Florida.
Wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought of the line of Cole Schwint, Brendan Brisson, and Alexander Holtz last night.
Well, I thought they did a good job for the most part. They were attacking. They had some looks. Briss took a real big hit in front of the bench and created a two-on situation for Alex, so good scoring chance there. I know Alex Holstro went deep later, hits Schwint in the, going to the net, so another good look. So, they had some opportunities, and I think young guys, they do look for offense, and as a coach, you're looking for 200-foot play on both sides of the puck. So we got that for the most part. Other times, they got light with the puck here and there. One led to some zone time in our end. We had to take a penalty eventually, but I thought they did a good job. No complaints with their overall game. I think they've all been close to scoring. Well, probably more Cole, and they played a little more in Holtz, and they've had some tough luck, so hopefully they get one to make themselves just, listen, you get a goal, you're always going to feel a little, that first one especially, feel a little better about yourself, so that's probably what's around the corner for them. But I don't want it to come at the expense of cheating and trading chances, so to speak, and they're trying to do the right thing.
Is there anything you do in terms of positive reinforcement while they wait for that to happen?
Well, I talked to Alex yesterday about why, we changed the lines, about a little more value of the whole game, and I think he cared. He threw himself in front of a shot, just about the value of winning hockey. As I said, everyone wants to score and get that out of the way, and some guys get hot early and then go through a bit of a dry spell, and others are the opposite. So it's always tough at the start of the year. But that's the conversation with Al. Briss was, hey, you played pretty well. But then there's a play. They throw Kucherov's line out there against you, and you have to manage the puck, right? Like, beating guys one-on-one, the neutral zone is a tough formula in the National Hockey League unless you're at top speed. So maybe chip and chase it in that particular instance. So, because that's one that came back at us. So for him, it's just heaviness on the walls, which a lot of young players go through, and he's no different, and guys are still going through. Certainly not the only guy. So those are some of the messaging. Cole is a little more the 200-foot game. Make sure if you have any questions about our D-zone, watch Jack Eichel when he plays in D-zone, your right stick, how he defends. You don't have to worry about the offensive part. That's pretty special, but watch that part. And so those are the things. I think he's been good. He's been good in practice. He asks questions. He's a pretty detailed guy.
You mentioned Jack and the offensive side of things. We're used to seeing him play at an elite level, but is there something different you've seen from him to start the season?
Well, he sure looks like he's 100% healthy. He's separating from people. He's able to play halfway through a shift and puck protect, so his conditioning's very high level right now. He's just got lots of confidence with whatever he decides, shoot or pass. I think the power play for him, it's running through him more. I think that gives him confidence for the rest of his game. He's getting lots of touches. We're using him on key parts of the penalty kill too that maybe William Karlsson would be in. So he's touching every part of the game. And I think guys, usually when that happens, if they're in condition to do it, we'll enjoy that part of it. I think, to be honest, he's probably played a few minutes more than I would have projected this time of the year. But again, some of that is injury related, where games are close, you're going to go to the next guy that you feel can get the job done in the middle of the ice, and that's been Jack.
Just on Jack a little more, last night, the last TV timeout, it seemed like he was up on the bench and he was talking to guys the whole time. It was all about breakout and what you can see emotion. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. Is that new from him?
Yes and no. I think he's taken on a bigger role in those areas, but Jack's always been an iPad guy that he will look at after shifts. Now, one way to get him to stop that is I just call his name again so he has to put it down and go out, because I think sometimes you can overanalyze the game. I think it's great between timeouts. That's a real good time to sort of take a breath, look at, okay, what I see. But sometimes I want to see it in real time. I get all that. But yes, and in those situations, he's becoming more of a coach. He's a student of the game. You know, we talk. Jack's pretty dialed in, and I think that'll only help his overall game, especially away from the puck when you're, you know, sort of talking to guys how we can get it back. That's his game. Like, you know, you have to play defense. No one loves it, but you're doing it to get the puck back. You're not doing it just to do it, right? So I think that's a lot of what he's communicating.
You talk about pairs or duels. Are Hurdle and Dorofeev becoming one of those for you?
Well, we had hoped at the start of the year that maybe something, you know, we didn't know where he'd land, whether it was with Carly or I think a little bit last year they played together. I saw something that I liked in the two of them. So right now that is the plan, to try to keep them together. Pav's one of the guys that seems to be able to go over to the right side as a young winger and survive. I think there's a lot of guys that get over there and they have to handle pucks in the backhand a lot through the neutral zone or off the walls, and they have a tougher time or they get caught from behind. But he's obviously handled it better than some of the other younger wingers. So that's also a luxury when you can flip sides with them, especially when you lose a guy like Olsen, who's played a little bit there too.
You moved Pav up to the top unit. Why'd you do that?
I thought he was the best fit for what we want there. We want a guy that can shoot off the pass. We saw that last night. He did it. A guy that will have a shooting mentality when he gets over there. He did that. And I think he's got the hockey IQ to play with those guys and know when to shoot. He's not going to force plays through there. I think that's what Olsen did. And really, I didn't know. You see the big shot with him, but what he's done so well is have composure over there and reset plays without forcing it. And be able to make a tape-to-tape pass under a little bit of pressure and find a soft spot. And we hope Pav can do that too. So that's the thinking. Get him in offensive situations that suit him. And I know he's been mixed in the second unit. The second unit hasn't had a lot of time. So it might make more sense to maybe throw a Barbie over there. But I think Barbie's game is better in where Hurdle is. In the front of the net, he's a slot guy. Pav's a little more elbow shot that can beat goaltenders from there. So we'll see how it works out.
You challenged the D4 for the season to get involved in the offense more like we've seen previously? What are you seeing that's allowing them to do that?
Well,
so
yeah, they're doing it, and now it's okay, do it at the right time, right, and make sure we're up the ice on the other situations to set gaps so you can be involved. I think that the Barbashev goal is a good example of Theo, good time to go. We do a good job in D-zone, but we're not cheating, not leading the rush. He's there to support the rush. We kill a play, and off he goes and does his thing. So I think that where we've put them on the sort of their spacing on the ozone blue line, instead of getting so wide, they've been closer to the dots. And so you see it with Nabber and Whitey, right? A lot of their shots are coming from inside the dots. They're easy to tip, and they're easy to recover. Nabber's, there was no recovering or tipping. It went right in yesterday, so good on him. So those are some of the things we've worked on. I think we've done a pretty good job.
Do you have time for one more?
Sure.
Curious, the role of Stone and Hurdle on the power play. How does that create space and give you more options?
Well, Stoney's a threat to walk off the goal line, so you have to respect that if you're the kind of net front D, so it opens up some backdoor plays. We saw it to Olsson at home, I think, a little more. We saw it last night to Pav, too, and he just wasn't kind of ready for it off one of the faceoffs. I think it was the second period. And then it also can hurdle such a big man. You saw the goal against Anaheim. Once he gets inside position, it's tough for that forward to sort of deter what he's doing. Now, yesterday, Tampa's D did a better job getting in front of that shot. They probably pre-scouted. And I think Hertz got a few blocked and a couple on net, but didn't get the mustard on he probably wanted. So, but they're big guys. They're puck recovery guys, too. That's the last part of the equation. Anything goes to the net, you know, they can screen and box out and get in the goalie's eyes and long to be able to recover pucks. So I've always liked big guys near the front of the net if they're able to recover pucks, right? That's the big if, because that's one of the most important jobs of that guy. And both Stoney and Hertl have done a great job with second effort. You look back at the goal in Washington we scored the other night. It's a beautiful goal, but starts with, I think, with Stoney, you know, kind of stick lifting other players before he could clear it. Again, second effort puck. That's been the biggest difference, I think, this year. We could always, I think our team had the ability to make plays. It's now getting pucks back when the other team's defense is broken down or they're tired. Now you make the plays really open up then, and we've seen a lot of that this year. The Anaheim goal that Hurdle scored was a second effort. Washington, and I'm forgetting. Was it yesterday's goal? Did we recover? I don't know if we recovered a puck to start. I thought we might have. So a lot of them are initiating with that, getting a puck back.
Thank you, Bruce.
It's hard to tell whether it's just being new into the season or whether it's percentagely a lot more effective. But their ability to get pucks back and generate multiple opportunities off instead of a one and done appear to be higher, more noticeable anyway.
Yeah, I think more noticeable for sure. And I think that's going to be kind of the main focus for me when it comes to the power play is they have been able to kind of tire out their opposition. Like they've had some power play goals, certainly some that have come quickly, relatively quickly into the power play situation or scenario, but they've also had quite a few that have gone a little bit deeper, minute 15, minute 20 seconds in, and a lot of that has to do with their ability to recover more pucks and get second and third opportunities in those scenarios. So I'm with you. I think it's been more noticeable, and it's probably a big reason why they are why they have five power play goals on the year.
Talking about the defense getting involved and just maybe a cautionary tone there. About picking the right time. Maybe that goes back to last night and the end of the first period.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, obviously that was a scenario. That play is one that you don't want to give up that late in the period, right? It's an opportunity to go to the room with a lead, and it ends up in a two-on-one with Jake Guentzel feeding Nikita Kucherov. Like there's not much, there's not a more dangerous duo to give that opportunity to. And the Golden Knights did. Now, by the same token, you look at the goal for Ivan Barbashev, it happens essentially 2 minutes later in terms of game time, but it's Shea Theodore dancing in, picking his spot, jumping in when he's got coverage behind him, and it leads to a goal. So you see kind of the good and the bad in those two goals and those two plays, but you want more of what Theodore was able to do to set up Barbashev and less of those plays that are a little bit riskier at the end of periods.
And I will acknowledge that was a great bounce for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Sure.
A centering pass that went off a skate and straight to Barbashev, who was able to put it home. So I'm not going to say that Vegas didn't get any bounces last night as I bemoan the fact that Kucherov scored from the corner.
Just, you know, timely.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to put 22 minutes into the game instead of 59 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Into the same importance level.
Right.
Shea Theodore, third multi-point game of the year in the first five.
You want to talk about offense from the blue line.
Well, is that natural left side?
Maybe. He's skating so well early on. He's looked, to my eyes, more decisive in the offensive zone. I think that, you know, a big part of it, and you and I have talked about this, is his ability to walk the line and get shots through from the middle of the ice. I just think that he's got some juice early, and maybe it's natural left side. Maybe it's Shea Theodore going out there and in a contract year and putting up points. I'm not sure, but I like it. It's fun.
I don't look at him with a desire to want him to go as much as I did in previous times, which I explain because he's paired with Alex Pietrangelo. So I'm like, I'm expecting Petro to go half the time, not Theodore to go all the time, because Petro's got to have an opportunity to get up the ice. So I wonder if it relaxes his desire or want to be able to get up and involved in the play.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he has been the more noticeable of the two that is up in the play. But then you've also had moments, and more so in preseason than what we've seen in the regular season, where both guys are up in the play.
Well, so, Petro was behind the goal the other night.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I think a give and take when it comes to that pair. And I think the threat of having both guys and their ability to do that can really cause some confusion in the offensive zone.
I think this is one of the toughest road trips that you're going to face year in, like year to year.
Yeah.
It's not a long road trip, but this was three teams who all made the playoffs last year, were all 90 plus points, all with credible superstars on their team. And it's early in the season and you don't have your foundation fully intact. It was going to be a challenge early on, and I'm not just saying that because they're 0-2, but you need to get something out of it. You don't need to, but you'd love not to let a sweep of a three-game homestand go to waste and come back even.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it, especially with how last night's game ended and not getting anything out of that game. I do think that you really want to pick up a point or two tomorrow. Like, because you're right, you don't want to be back to square one, essentially, when you get back to T-Mobile Arena on Tuesday to face LA.
You're not going to recognize Florida Panthers from not just
yeah
last year, but like 2 years ago when we were all very up to date with their lineup. They had a ton of turnover from the Stanley Cup championship.
Yep.
Like nine guys that played in the playoffs last year, no longer with that franchise.
Very different team.
A little different. Well, let's get into our one-timers, news and notes on the other side. A lot to get to as we head into another busy weekend of the National Hockey League weekend. Number two, wrapping up for the NHL. It's the Fox Sports Las Vegas presentation of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Well, I was going to do tickets later. Was that on the air, by the way?
No. I'm on the air now.
We talked about this.
I'm on the air now. Listen.
We talked about this.
We have two pairs of tickets to give away, so I want to be proactive and give one away now.
Yeah, and I was going to the game we're giving them away to.
I was just going to give away the tickets in the next block, but we can give them away now. But we've talked about that when you come in and remind us about
always
tickets.
On the air.
Always on the air.
Yeah. It doesn't sound good, though.
It doesn't sound good to have someone in the middle of a thought interrupted as they're speaking when you could just interrupt them on air, and then people are like, oh, that's why Darren lost his train of thought, because Chapman interrupted him.
All right, Chapman.
Fair enough.
I'm going to make you sign a contract to that. Okay, we got two tickets to give away right now to the LA game on Tuesday. It's an 8 o'clock start, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if 8 o'clock doesn't work for you, wait for another time. 8 o'clock LA next Tuesday at the Fortress. First game back from the road trip. Caller number?
We're going to go 16 because there are 16 games that day.
Well done.
Yeah.
I love that rationale.
Yep.
And it makes Chapman have to be nice to all 15 people he rejects.
Not a chance he's going to be that. Not a chance he's going to be nice.
Don't just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Say, I'm sorry, you're calling number one. I'm sorry. And you just might be done by the time we go off the air. It's a one-timer's news and notes from around the National Hockey League and Fox Sports Las Vegas coming up.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Starting this weekend with a handful of teams that are still without a loss, and that includes the Calgary Flames, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Winnipeg Jets, all undefeated. 4-0 for the Flames, 3-0 for the Lightning, and the Winnipeg Jets. Everybody else has some sort of blemish to their record. Calgary, Winnipeg, and Tampa, who's the last team that will be undefeated and perfect?
I'm going to say Tampa.
Chapman?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean,
you weren't listening.
No.
You weren't listening.
You said unbeaten teams.
Yeah.
And I don't know because they're all really good.
Can you name the three teams?
Carolina, Tampa?
No. Calgary, Tampa, Winnipeg.
I will not go with Calgary. I think Calgary will lose. So I'm going to go Winnipeg. I'll go Winnipeg.
Okay. Winnipeg's on the ice right now.
Are they still level at one?
They are not.
Uh-oh.
2-1 Jets.
Okay.
Lead that one.
They're playing San Jose. I think that one's in the bag.
It should be safe. Yeah.
Josh Morrissey and Nikolai Ehlers have the goals in that game. No Will Smith for the San Jose Sharks. No Macklin Celebrini for the San Jose Sharks. Missing a couple other veterans as well. It's not a good... Will Smith, load management. They said it was always the plan. He's a healthy scratch. Always the plan to go through this and handle him a lot like Leo Carlson from a year ago.
Yeah.
More and more teams opting to do that. I'm not sure I agree wholeheartedly at this point, but we will see how it plays out. Leo Carlson scored a beautiful goal the other night.
Yeah, he did.
If they can hit a little bit of positiveness with their core,
yeah,
I think Anaheim could be an exciting team. Now, what I talked about at the top of the show, that there's this rumor about the Anaheim Ducks and Colorado Avalanche. Because Colorado's really struggling. They haven't won. And their goals against average is like 62.3 per game.
It's not.
And it's awful.
It's not far off.
Nope. The goalie's been pulled in two of the four games. So everybody's talking about they need a goalie. I'm not sure. And there's connections to John Gibson, who's not even healthy right now, coming off appendectomy surgery. He's got a couple of years left at over $6 million.
Yep.
Hasn't played any like high-intensity, got-to-win, got-to-be-a-contender games in 6 years. I don't see Colorado going away from Georgiev for John Gibson. I don't consider that a... We got an upgrade there. It might be, but you're taking a big risk on that with John Gibson. I think there's other options available for the Avalanche with less risk and less tied to the salary cap. Remember, they got to re-sign Rantanen. They got a host of issues with their salary cap. I think it was just people love to trade John Gibson. It's a cottage industry in the National Hockey League to move John Gibson.
I think John Gibson wants out, right? Like, I think that...
Well, Dostal's in there, and his playing time is going to be knocked back.
For
but
sure.
he's making a healthy living.
No, he is making a healthy living, but I think at some point, John Gibson wants to get back to where he used to be when he first broke in with Anaheim.
If you trade John Gibson to me, because I don't know what John Gibson is.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I need you to eat like 40% of his salary, not 25%.
Yeah.
So we're knocking on the door of $3 million.
Well, like that's the
Anaheim going to do that?
No. No, I don't see a reason why they would. Like, and that's why the Colorado angle is harder to reconcile because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Now, and they might be saddled with a $3 million goaltender who can't get it done. Same as the guy right now.
Wow. I would like to believe that John Gibson is better than a 5.79 goals against average, but, you know, call me crazy.
Georgiev does this. He has these really flat stretches or big dips, and then he comes back and he's fine.
He did that against Winnipeg.
It's
in
hyper.
The playoffs.
Yeah, that was one game, though. And then he was great the rest of it.
He was, but you're right. Like, there are moments where Georgiev makes you question.
He has high profile in game meltdowns.
He is excellent or an absolute sieve.
So, Colorado does play Anaheim tonight. Don't expect a trade to happen in game because Gibson's not even healthy coming back. The Ducks are 2-1. The Avalanche are 0-4.
Just as we all drew up on our bingo cards.
Where do you react if you're Colorado? Is it after tonight or is it next week?
I mean, if they lose tonight and get pumped, I think you got to do something. I think overreaction or some type of reaction is warranted. Like, if you draw, and listen, this is no disrespect to the Anaheim Ducks, but like, if you can't get decent goaltending, if you can't win a game, you're 0-5 to start the year. I think that's when you've got to start to look at some things. I don't know what that looks like for Colorado, but you can't let this bleed into next week. You just can't.
Plus, you don't want it to affect your possibility of re-signing Rantanen.
No,
he's like, this place is going downhill.
I know.
I'm not coming back here. They got to be able to get that deal done.
It's not a good situation.
It's in Denver. So watch that one, because if it does go south, Ubers could be out. Hurricanes and Penguins. You know, the Penguins have had a pretty good start to the year.
They have.
For all the angst about their own goaltending, and there's been a couple of games where it's been bad, they've had a pretty good start to the year. Tonight they trail the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1. And those are two teams that we don't know what they are. And may not know what they are until the middle of December.
Yeah. Yeah, with Pittsburgh, I think we... It's tough because I feel like Pittsburgh is a little bit more defined than Carolina. Right? Like, we know that they've got the high end. We know how good Crosby and Malkin can be when they're on. We know that Erik Karlsson can impact the game in a positive way or a negative way depending on which way the wind blows that day. And I think we all like accept that they probably shouldn't be a playoff team, but Carolina is the one to me that is really up in the air because of all the change that happened in the offseason.
Gustav Bear scores tonight. Natchez scores tonight. And Jackson Blake scores tonight.
Nice.
Jackson Blake, you don't have to know that he's Jason Blake's son. You just look at his picture. That's Jason Blake's son. Former New York Islander, former Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah.
Alex Nedeljkovic cleared. He's been assigned to Wilkes-Barre Scranton for conditioning. So it looks like they're going to get their 1B back in short order. and hopefully get Tristan Jarry going in the right direction. In the meantime, Joel Blomqvist is playing goal tonight.
Yeah,
he's got two of their three wins.
They need Nedeljkovic bad.
Yeah, they you're right. They tried to, a lot of people tried to blame it on Tristan Jarry the other night, mm-hmm. when they came back against Buffalo, but they were down 3-0. Mm-hmm. And the coach said, it wasn't all on him. The players have to take some responsibility. But it wasn't all the players. Tristan has to take some responsibility for that. So it was a good explanation. When you're looking at the events of the early season, and we've got Calgary off to a great start, surprisingly. Tampa after the big changes, off to a great start. Winnipeg unbeaten so far. Those are good stories. Mm-hmm. But is the likes of the New York Islanders 1-1-2. Are we concerned at all about that hockey club? Are we looking at the likes of the Boston Bruins at 3-2 and worried at all about that hockey club? Like, there's some teams that are just kind of middling along through the start.
I'm not necessarily concerned about the Islanders because I feel like that's who they are. Like a 1-1-1, 1-1-2 type of team. As far as Boston goes, it's no surprise that I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Boston Bruins based on how much has come out of their lineup over the last couple of years and their ability to just continue to make the playoffs and be elite as a team. I'm not terribly concerned. I think that once they settle into the season and, you know, Jeremy Swayman's got the contract sorted out, I think the Bruins will be fine. The team that I think is most interesting early on, and it's a winless team, as much as we look at Colorado and say, wow, that's surprising, the Nashville Predators being 0-4 is not something that I had designed going into this year, but it always kind of was like a back of my mind chaos theory situation where you go in and you make a big splash in free agency, and some of that takes time. Chemistry takes time. Developing where everyone's going to play and how everyone's going to get their piece of the pie on the power play and all that, it takes time, and it hasn't really worked out early on yet for the Nashville Predators.
Predators have scored 8 goals in 4 games, and they have a coach. These aren't your uncle's Nashville Predators.
No.
They like to score, and they have a coach that coaches the offense in the game.
Yeah.
But to your point, they added some offensive guys, and Brady Shea's in the back end as well, but they haven't scored. Jonathan Marchessault called them fragile.
Yeah.
Fragile. It's early to be using that word.
Now, I said at the time, good on the Predators for going out there and making a splash, but given the age of the players that they brought in, their window is right now, because at some point Father Time, who's undefeated, will catch up to them and it could go south in a hurry. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to figure it out, but not a great start to the Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault infused Nashville Predators.
Okay, teams I've loved watching early. Anaheim.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
And Montreal. Loved watching those three teams. They've been entertaining. Teams that I am shaking my head at going, how are you in this position again? Buffalo. Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
Nothing changes. Like, literally.
Detroit's got one
changes.
Win out of 4.
Yeah. The Red Wings look terrible. The Sabres are bad. Yeah, nothing changes.
Connor Bedard's good, man.
He's really fun. I have been tuning into Chicago games, and I'll throw one more team that's fun and chaotic. Utah Hockey Club.
So many injuries there, too. Mm. They lost another guy, Marino. they thought he was going to be back right away. Months now. And New Jersey scored a bunch of goals.
Yeah, they have. New Jersey's fun.
7 games played so far. Those are one-timers. Let's give away some tickets. Chapman, are you okay if I give away some tickets right now?
Sure, Darren. Give away tickets.
All right. Which game should we give away tickets for?
Well, it's the LA Kings game on Tuesday, 8 p.m. start time.
Okay.
And first game back from the road trip. So that's the one.
You haven't added one single thing to your tee up to
no.
that. And we've given away 60 sets of tickets.
I know.
It's robotic.
Yes.
8 p.m.
Why mix
first
up
game back of the road trip.
Why mess up a good thing?
And it's the last game for the LA Kings on their 7-game road trip. But they did go home today. And they're at home. And then they play Anaheim tomorrow. And then they're up against Vegas. So they it's weird. They are at home, but there's still a couple of games left on the road trip. A strange one. Which caller do you want to give away tickets to?
Let's go 13.
I wasn't asking you.
Oh. Well, you were talking to me, so no. I just assumed you were asking me.
I always ask Wallace.
Yeah. This is my job, Chapman.
Oh.
I was gonna do caller number 8 because the game starts at 8 p.m.
There. Does it start at 8?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. Oh.
8 o'clock puck drop.
8 o'clock puck drop. All 32 teams in action on that night. You get to watch two of them in person. If you are caller number 8, 702-876-1340, catching up with Chapman's next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Oh, Christopher.
Hi, Darren. So tomorrow night, Mrs. Chapman and myself, we're going to go out to the Silver Knights game. They're playing the Calgary Wranglers, or should I say Calgary Wranglers?
Stop it with that.
Who, at one point, were the Las Vegas Wranglers, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Because, wait.
No.
Because they were Calgary's ECHL team. Now, obviously, they're
no,
the,
no. The Wranglers. Calgary Wranglers, the Wranglers name goes back decades to Calgary.
Okay, so there's still a connection.
Okay.
In the fact that they're both named the Wranglers.
Well, and there was a connection to Calgary when the Wranglers were here.
Stop saying Calgary.
But kind of cool because they're doing the popcorn bucket. And Darren, you've seen me in the press box. You know I'm a huge, huge popcorn guy. So
first 3,000 people get a collectible popcorn container.
Hmm.
And if you're one of the first 1,000, you get not only the bucket, but a voucher for popcorn.
Would it be tacky if I get one and bring it up to the press box with me and
no.
use that to put my popcorn in?
You've done way worse, way more tacky things than that.
Come on. Not that bad.
Hold on.
I can't even argue for you, Chapman.
Are you talking about at a VGK game?
Yes.
Okay. I don't mind that.
No, I'm going to the Wrangler or to the Silver Knights game with Mrs. Chapman.
I thought you were implying that you guys were sitting in the press box.
No, it's a date night for us.
Tonight is the home opener for the Henderson Silver Knights, mm-hmm. and the Town Crier Trumpets go to the first 3,000 fans in attendance.
Do you think McCormick does the Vuvuzela
I'm hoping so. To Darren
the Olympian.
Yeah.
You're gonna watch, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I just sent Ryan Craig a note saying, this is going to be one of the longest games of your career, whether you win 8-1 or you lose 8-1. It's going to be loud. And it's going to be so much fun. Like, kids are just going to be going crazy.
Yeah.
There won't be a moment where those things aren't going.
A swarm of bumblebees.
You will leave that game with a headache. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Maybe a migraine. Did something just happen?
Did you just like...
Oh, he's going to get the Vuvuzela.
Oh, he's got... Oh, boy.